Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast, presented by sportsshoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
We are back for season 3, and it's going to be a good one.
With the aim of raising the profile of British distance running, we're bringing you more content than ever.
Every week, we'll give you insights into the lives and training of some of the UK's top athletes and coaches,
as well as all the latest updates from the races up and down the country and around the world.
You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all major podcast streaming platforms.
Keep a lookout for our new YouTube channel too, where we're posting workout videos, shoe reviews, and much more.
Stay up to date by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Sunday Podcast.
And if you want to drop us a line, send us an email to info@sundaypodcast.com.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the episode.
For this week's episode, we spoke to Dutch Olympian and 1311 5000 meter man, Mike Foppen. Mike trains with the Lions Track Club in Paris, and we spoke to him about his career so far, his goals for the future, and much more. Enjoy.
Okay, first of all, Mike, great to have you on the podcast. And we were just talking kind of off air. You just come back from a training camp in South Africa. How was it?
It was very good, actually. I've been there a lot of times. So I used to go to Dullstroom, which is a bit high altitude. But the last few years, I've been going to Potchefstroom. I was actually there with Sexhead in January. Not with him, but I saw him there. We had some coffee. Yeah, I like the place. They have good facilities. It's a bit lower, so it's like 1,400 meters altitude. So you wouldn't call it like a hell high altitude camp. But I really like it before like a indoor or a track season, because you can do your quality work but still get some quality, get some altitude in. And in March, I was in Flagstaff. So I like to do the combination of high altitude first and then going a bit lower for more specific work. No, but it was very good for me.
Will you go straight from Flag to South Africa, or did you come home for a little bit?
I did the trip to the US from South Africa in January, but it's a really hellish trip. It was I had to fly from Johannesburg for 16 hours to New York, and then a layover, and then another 2 hours to Boston. So I was considering it, but I decided to go back to Europe first, because actually most layovers and most flights go to Europe first and then to South Africa. I might as well just fly to Amsterdam, go back home for like 2 weeks, and then stay in the Netherlands, and then go to South Africa. So that's what I did this time. So I basically went home to get rid of the jet lag and then flew to South Africa.
Makes sense. Yeah. Look, mate, how did you, we'll start from the beginning, because not many who kind of listen to our podcast will know your story. They obviously know your achievements now. But, you know, kind of growing up in the Netherlands, you'll be an interesting story. What's athletics look like? What does the culture look like in running? Is it a big sport? You know, just talk us through how you got into it.
I think for me, I was born and raised in a family that's really into elite sports. My sister used to do gymnastics at a high level. And obviously in gymnastics, you're like already at a really young age, you have to train a lot of hours. So I basically grew up with my sister being gone most days, training like 28 to 30 hours a week. Wow. She would already be gone when I woke up in the morning, and then she would train 3 hours in the morning, go to school the whole day, and in the afternoon again, and I would see her like 8 o'clock in the evening. So that's a bit the culture that I was at my home. Everything was into sports. And both of my parents have not done elite level sports, but always have been very active like in the sports area. And I always grew up thinking that I also wanted to be an elite athlete. So I was always a bit jealous of my sister that she got to do that at such a young age, but that's just because it's a different sport. And that's has always been my mindset. But I started playing soccer, football, when I was a bit younger, and then I kind of rolled into the athletics world. So basically, I was not good with the ball, but just without it, I was just running back and forth. I think the coaches like to put me midfield so I could attack and defend, but not really touch the ball actually. And then started doing athletics like all events for maybe a year, but it was pretty clear that I was just good at running. So then I've been doing it a long time. I'm 26 now, and I started when I was maybe 7. So I would say I'm almost 20 years into running. So it's like sometimes you hear stories of people who start when they were 15 or 14. Maybe that's a more normal age, but I started really, really young.
And starting at that age, was there? Do you have any memories of like when was the first time that you kind of maybe did a race or a training session or had an experience where you thought like I want to do this sport specifically as a pro?
I think I knew it pretty early on. Maybe not pro, but at least until I finished like school and everything, and I was pretty sure to just do the running because we had these local races, and with these local races, you could qualify for nationals for like schools. So I think I was like 8 or 9 and I won the local races around here, around my hometown. And then I was qualified for the final, and I think I won the final when I was like 8 or 9. So I won like year 3 in school. So that's like eight year old kids. And then I don't know, I thought I was very talented, but I feel like everybody who started at that age goes through like a bit of a rough path. And I remember when I was like 10 11 12, I stayed very small pretty long, so all the kids around me were growing up a bit faster, and I was finishing like 30 or 40 at nationals, and I was like maybe this is not the sport for me. But my old coach was always saying, okay, just we're just taking it easy until you make your growth, and then we'll grow into it. So I think in my mind, I maybe took it a bit too serious already at a very young age. So where other kids who were like 13 or 14 year old would go out with friends and like not really care about the sport, I was actually already pretty serious in my mind. Maybe in the level, it was not important, but for me, in my mind, it was already pretty important.
And this is interesting. What did training look like at that age? Because you're talking, you know, very young, 10, 11, 12, and, you know, your early, very early teens, right through your teens. What would training look like in your mind? You were taking it seriously. Was training quite heavy? Was it quite structured? Was it specific?
No, it was structured, but I would not say it was like special or anything. Like we all know the stories from like Jacob at a young age, already going at altitude and everything and training with his big brothers. For me, it was, I think from the moment I started, it was maybe 2 times a week, and just with a local group doing like some fun fartlek stuff, those kind of things. And then maybe when I got to like 12, 13, 14, I started doing 3 times a week. So we would just meet up on Tuesdays, Fridays and Sundays. And then from there on, we started adding like a little easy run on Thursdays or whatever. But also that I remember I had a friend, and we would have to do 30 minutes easy run. And I remember we would just go for like an hour walk in the forest and not run at all. And until like 45 minutes in or 50 minutes in, and we're done talking. And then we jogged for like 25 minutes and then the training was over. So it was more of a social and fun aspect for me. But in my mind, like I took it very serious. I remember doing these regional races and thinking it was world champs. So training wise, I didn't do much, but like I was preparing myself mentally a little bit for what was to come, I feel like.
Yeah, it's interesting. And what influence did your coach have on that? Because I believe I read somewhere that you spent from the age of 8, like kind of the same coach all the way through to quite recently. Is that right?
Yeah. I was with the same coach for 17 years, I think. So, well, he was always from the like the progressive approach. So he really, I think he's told me like 250 times that we're going to take it slow. Because, of course, there's moments where you see other guys around you doing way more training. And I think at the age of 16 or 17, this question comes up, like how much mileage are you running? How many Ks a week? And that always stressed me out a little bit because I knew the other guys were running a bit more than me. But we took it so slow until I at least had my body right to actually handle everything. So I grew up having very, very little injuries because my body could just easily handle it. I've actually been a bit fortunate with injuries as well. So in my career, I've not really had, I've had big injuries. In 2017, I had one stress reaction in my foot, but that's about it. So that's a bit the way I grew up with him, taking things easy and progressing year by year, not too big steps forward. And I think that also reflects a bit on my progression, because I think since I started running until 2021, I progressed every year. I ran a PB in every distance every year, but it was not major improvements, but just like small steps getting closer to like Olympic level.
Wow, man. And why did you just quickly, why did you part ways with that coach?
I don't know, it was hard. I felt like I needed a new challenge, not necessarily that I wasn't performing, because actually in the year that I made Olympics with him, I changed. So you would say like you made like the highest thing in your career, why would you change? But I felt like if I was gonna stay with him, I would have run 13:13 my whole life. So or 13:10. I felt like we maxed out this slow increase, slow progression. So I felt like I had to do something drastically, and then maybe the result of that would be that I would run 13:45 again or 13:30. I'm not talking about 5K, but in every distance. I just wanted to take a risk and see what that would do to my body and what that would do to me mentally and how that would change things. So it was pretty hard, because like I said, we started from running 25 minutes on a 5K to running 30 minutes on a 5K, from a regional talent to like making Olympics. So that was kind of hard, but I'm happy I made the decision. Not just for running, but also just for myself, for my own like personal development. It was good to get out of my comfort zone, because like I had it very easy here. I was living in my home, the town I grew up. I just went away for camps, but I didn't really know what it was to be with a coach that I didn't really properly know yet.
What's the setup like in the Netherlands? I mean, I've heard various things about kind of the governing body to represent, Holland at major championships. You need to all have the same coach. Is that correct? Like, how does the governing body kind of work? How does the athletic system work over there?
I would say it's changed a bit over the years. We have a new head coach now. His name is Thomas Lewandowski. It's the brother from Marcel Lewandowski, well-known name in athletics. And he's really trying to connect all coaches in the Netherlands to have like these. For example, Flagstaff was the first big example of connecting all different elite athletes and taking them to the same camp where he was like the head coach, but actually everybody was welcome to join. So I think that's a big step forward for like coaches and athletes to like cooperate together. And before that, I don't know. I was never really involved in the with the Dutch government. I was always a bit myself. I trained with a lot of foreign athletes, so I've been on training camps with the Swedish Federation, with German Federation. So I always picked a bit my own road. And that didn't make it always that easy, because then if you wanted to get selected for certain championships, it was maybe a bit harder because you were not really in the picture. So that made it a bit harder. But right now, I would say that it's pretty well arranged, that you get I at least get the freedom to choose my own coach, and still get like I can ask for facilities if I need any.
Yeah, and let's talk about that current training setup then. Let's just tell our listeners and explain to us like who you're training with, who your coach is, and where you're based most of the time.
So end of 2021, basically after Olympics, I decided to make a big change. At that time, I didn't really know yet what I wanted. Thinking about the US, Australia, thinking about some different groups of coaches, but of course you need to know the people and know the coach first. And I didn't want to change like this, I wanted to try out maybe some camps with other groups and find out that way. And then I went to Font-Romeu in France, I think October 2021. And there I basically met the group that I'm with now. And I think their main, or clearly their main athlete, is Jimmy Greche. And I started talking with him, and he was already there for already a bit joking, like, oh, I started this team, we have funding, you should come and join. But I always thought he was joking, because I was like, yeah, why do you ask a Dutch guy to come in to train with a French team where no one speaks English? And then he was also there at that camp, and actually tried out the schedule a little bit. So the coach I'm training with now is called Adrien Taouji. He's a French coach, and I remember I did the easy run with them, and there was another guy in the group, and he had to translate everything I was asking because I didn't speak French, and Adrien didn't speak English. So I wanted to ask all these complicated questions, like what do you do with lactate measurement, and like what's your training method, and what would you do in this situation? And it was just the back and forth of this guy translating all these complicated terms. But I really wanted to know before I made a decision, like what he was like. And the weird thing was that I felt like I had a really good connection with this guy, with Adrian, without actually talking to him, because I was talking with the other guy and he was just translating it. But it's for me, that was a very good first signal that you can feel a good connection with someone without actually speaking the same language. That's
Jeez.
just the, I think that's just the, like the openness he has. Also, it was nice to get answers to my questions because I've had some problems with my old coach before that I wanted to try out new things, or that I asked him complicated questions and that he didn't really know the answer. That made it hard to progress. So it was good to ask what I wanted to ask and get my answers. And then at this camp, actually, I tried out a little bit of the schedule from Adrian, and I liked it. So then it's that hard moment, like, am I gonna say now, okay, we're changing for sure, or are we gonna try out something else? Because it was actually also the same situation for my girlfriend. So my girlfriend is also an elite athlete representing Sweden. And she had to make kind of the same decision, but she didn't meet Adrian yet. So it was a bit of a strange situation where I was like, yeah, we should do this. And she was like, well, I didn't meet the guy, so maybe we should wait. But you can also not hang in between coaches because then I think you just lose the way a little bit. So then I decided to just try out this program, and from there rolled into it a bit more. And now I'm like officially part of, it's called Lions Track Club. They're based in Paris and in INSEP. It's like the Olympic Training Center of France. And Adrian is living there. The whole group is basically living there. And the plan at first was also to move to Paris, live there full time. But financially, and I don't know, I prefer having this freedom around me a little bit, that I have my own home here, my own house with my girlfriend. And then we just travel in for camps, or we go to Paris for a few weeks, something like that. And that's seems to work out well, and I like it like that.
Has this club got good funding? In a sense, obviously Paris is just a year away. Is that a focus? And how many internationals are on the club? Like, I guess, non-French nationals.
It's just me and my girlfriend, actually, are non-French. But there is Mehdi Belhadj. He's a 8:11 steeplechaser. He finished, was my I think 11th in Eugene last year in World Champs in the final. Obviously Jimmy, and then there's some younger talents who are running like 3:39, 3:40 for 1500, a 1:01 half marathon runner. And then obviously the girls, there's like, including my girlfriend, three sub-10 steeplechasers. One girl running 2:02 and 4:05 on 1500. So it's quite a talented group. And actually, potentially, we could have like five or six athletes next year at the Olympics, or at least in the next couple of years at like World Champs and Olympics. So that's really a difference for me to train with athletes who are basically full time. Because before I was the only full time athlete in my group, and now I have like multiple people around me who basically have the same goals. And funding wise, the team is a bit set up around Jimmy. So Jimmy is the big prospect in France, obviously. And with the Olympics being in Paris next year, that's just I think a good build up towards that.
And just quickly, what kind of questions you mentioned, talking to this coach in broken English and translation, about training philosophies. But for those people who are kind of maybe switching coaches, thinking about switching coaches, what were the questions you wanted answering?
Well, for me, I always really trained on feeling. So I never really monitored a lot. I used to wear like a heart rate monitor and everything, but I didn't do anything with the data. So I just wore it for nothing, basically. Or maybe on a day that I saw it's very weird, I had some kind of idea about that something was going on, but I didn't really analyze anything, never measured lactate. And the program was always very similar to the year before, which was fine because it worked. But I was really in that mood of trying out different things. So I just asked him mostly, like, how do you like monitor your training? And I was giving him all these cases to, I don't know, I was just saying, like, it's 2 weeks out from a major championship. I have a small injury in my right calf. What would you do? I wanted to test a little bit with him what he would do in those kind of situations. And I really liked his answers. And then we also have a second coach called Francois, and he's basically a scientific specialist. So it's actually a really nice combination between a head coach who thinks of the schedules, but then also another coach who monitors all the data we have from our watches, from our lactate values. So I really, yeah, it just gave me a really good feeling.
And what does that now look like for you in terms of like a typical week's training, Monday to Sunday?
Yeah, that's the fun part. With Adrian, we don't really have a typical week. So obviously a lot of people have their typical, nowadays, Tuesday double threshold maybe, and like Thursday session, Saturday session, Sunday long run. With Adrian, he basically counts back before a race to know which days should be the sessions. Or for example, if we have a long travel, he counts after the travel. So he wants to do a session on day 3 or whatever. So I think in the last year I've had sessions on every day of the week, because like some weeks is on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it changes every week. But I would say the most typical week we could have would be one day with like 2 easy runs and strides. So let's say Monday, we usually have strides the day before a session to get our body activated. Then the day of a session, we usually start the day with like 30 or 45 minutes of activation. So like exercises, stretching, and then an easy run. And then the afternoon would be the session. And now obviously because track season is just around the corner, it's all a bit more specific sessions. So in South Africa, we did, for example, 20 times 300 of like a minute in like 15 on a meter pace. Pretty tough sessions compared to what I was doing before. And then maybe another session on Thursday or Friday. It's so different every week. I would say we have 2 harder sessions a week, and then filled up with 1 long easy run and then 1 long run with like a tempo block in it. So kind of a longer threshold. And then maybe sometimes in there, there's somewhere like a fartlek or like a threshold and blocks, like 10 minutes, 8 minutes, 6 minutes, something like that.
And mate, look, you know, your level right now, 5th at Euros last year, 13.11, man. How do you kind of, I mean, one, surely you're looking at that 13.07, that world standard, and how do you break into the medals? If you thought about how you're going to go about doing that?
Well, I think Munich was already a big step forward for me. This like peaking at the championship, I was found very hard. So with the training I was doing, which was, like I said, very monotone a little bit, not negatively, but just very much the same. I could have like peak somewhere, but I didn't want the peak. So it was hard to get the peak at the right moment. And I felt like the last year we got it right at the right moment. Whereas actually the whole track season, I was not really satisfied with my times and everything, but I did get very fit for Munich. And I think times are also a little bit overrated, because of course you need to qualify for the championships, but I would prefer making it to world's final this year than breaking 13.10. So I changed my mind a little bit about that. Before, I was always chasing the times a lot. But I do feel like I actually made a big step forward compared to last year. So obviously last year was the first summer with the new coach. A lot of things had changed. Also, like body wise, I've been doing a lot of like DEXA scans where you can see like the percentages of body fat around your and how much muscles you have in your body. And a lot of things changed in my body as well, because I did more speed, more strength. So I don't know. I was a bit up and down last year because I just didn't really know what to expect from the training, and my body was just reacting on that. And I feel like now I finally found the balance in what works for me, and in what day after training do I feel good, what should we do before a race, those kind of things. So I actually feel like now I'm even better than when I ran 13:11 in Boston. So I'm very, very excited about the track season.
Yeah, and what are your goals then for this track season? Obviously, you mentioned that world final, but yeah. Around that, what else is there for you?
Well, obviously, the qualifier is going to open for Olympics. So it would be very, very nice to secure that one already. That would give a lot of, like, take away a lot of stress for next year. I think it's 1st of July that opens. So I'm actually going to start my season next Saturday, in 8 days in Ortegem in Belgium. But I'll only do 1500s at the beginning of the season. So we've really been trying to develop my speed a little bit. And I'm very curious to see what I'll do in my 1500. So I hope to run a PB in the 15. And then half of June and in July, I'll start going to the 5Ks a bit more. Not too much, because yeah, World Champs is end of August. So it is very late. And I'm a little bit fortunate that I'm pretty high ranked right now, because I obviously did Boston and I have two good performances, including Europeans from last year. So I feel like I'm kind of safe based on ranking for World Champs. So actually this year, I'm also going to try and take it pretty slow and just continue with training until, well, at least the next 6-7 weeks will be still hard training. And after that, I'll go for a fast 5K, I think.
So you won't be doing the fast 5K in Paris?
It's in the program in brackets. I'm hoping to run Oslo. It's 4 days later, I think, but I'm not confirmed right yet. So we have some races around the same day to see if I don't get confirmed. But actually, I hope a little bit more for Oslo. But Paris would be nice. Of course, the group is based there, so it would be a nice race as well.
The thing is, you talk about your ranking being safe and stuff, and when you look at it from a ranking perspective, Oslo is what, one below Worlds, like on the ranking system. And you know, that fast 5K, is it a B grade meet? So points wise, it's a bit of a no-brainer as well.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel like I'm so safe now, at least for Worlds, that I don't even have to look at the category of the race.
Okay.
But actually, last year I wanted to run Oslo, but it was at the same day as, or one day later or earlier than Paris Diamond League. And then I chose Paris Diamond League. So I'm also just like trying to pick races that off. I've never done. Yeah, just I think it's good for the experience as well. And in the end, the race in Oslo will have my competitors from Worlds in the same race with me, I think. So it would be a bit better race to see where I'm at the moment. So we'll see. But it's still, like, even with 13:11, it's so hard to get into the Diamond League. So yeah. I'm hoping that, obviously, I'm not running a 5K before, so I cannot really show what shape I'm in right now. So it's maybe a bit hard to confirm, to be confirmed. And then 21st of July, it's Monaco Diamond League. I'm also waiting for confirmation there, but I think that'll take a while.
So the Netherlands have agreed to obviously take you on ranking points. There's not going to be... They haven't like clamped down on their selection policy.
I don't know if you followed my Instagram last year, but there was kind of a debate going on there, because the Netherlands had some different rules where they would only take the top 32 and not the top 42, which is internationally the standard. But last year, the standard was 13:13, and I think there was 34 guys who already ran the standard. So there was no way to be in the top 32. So in theory, you could be ranked first in the world on the normal ranking. But on the, it's like a different kind of ranking for the for world champs, where they put all the guys who have the standard in front of the guys who don't have the standard. And that's the list they look at. So in theory, if you don't run the standard, but you are first on the real world ranking, the Netherlands would not take me even if I would be ranked first in the world. That was not the case, but I was ranked on the normal ranking. I was ranked 24th, I think, and on this other ranking I was ranked maybe 39 or 40, so they wouldn't take me. And I was arguing that, like, I was ranked high enough on the other ranking, but it's the ranking is still a little bit of a mess. It's still, people don't really understand it yet, and federation don't really understand it yet, so it is a bit strange still. But in the end, I didn't end up going because of that. But this year we have kind of a new system. So they have a national standard as well, which is 13:15 for us. 13, 15, something. So if you run that standard and you ranked high enough, you're good to go. And I actually already ran 13:11. So
Jesus, they've complicated it even more than we have.
yeah, I heard in the UK they also made it very hard to qualify this year. They have another rank,
They basically just said they won't pay attention to the ranking. You just have to hit the standard. Yeah.
that's
So,
tough.
yeah. So.
Especially when you see that the standards are getting harder because actually World Athletics wants less athletes there with the standard.
This is Yeah, it looks like we might not send any athletes, so we'll see. But anyway, yeah, you've been talking a lot about the 5K, and then obviously you're kind of focusing a bit on 1500s. I just wanted to ask, will we see you in the 10K at some point? Maybe later on in your career?
I've done two track 10Ks in my life. Last year I did one, was 37 degrees. So that was a very bad experience because I was suffering after 1K already. But I don't know. I feel like before I would have said I'm moving up to 5K and 10K, but now I feel so good in like the sessions for 1500. So I feel like I'm going down again more towards 1500. But I do want to like occasionally do a 10K, but I don't think it will ever be my main event at a championship. I often get asked as well. If I have the dream to do Olympics at the marathon or like try the marathon, but I really don't have that fire. I don't feel anything at all. When I see marathon on TV or when I see the training for marathon, I don't know. I don't feel for it. But maybe it changes. I don't know. I just like the racing aspect. And I feel like in a 10K or the longer the distance gets, this racing aspect is gets away further and further because the differences just get bigger. So I feel like 1500. I would say 1500 is the most fun event, but I'm just not good enough to make it to the to Worlds and Olympics. So that's why I went to the 5K. But I would say 1500 is still the most fun event, or I think so at least.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like the further you go, the more you just have to dial into your own pace and just block out
Yeah.
everyone else. And yeah, it turns into more just you against you, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean a 10K could be fun if it's like tactical all the way, but it's just never happens. At least not at the major championships. Or it does, but then it gets tactical at 27:00 pace.
Yeah, they're just too fast, aren't it?
Yeah.
Mate, yeah, I just want to mention, jump back a little bit. You mentioned DEXA scans, and a few people are kind of getting their, body fat percentage measured. And is that something you are cautiously doing over kind of, weighing yourself, like you'd, and is do you have a number you have to hit on that kind of body fat percentage?
No, not at all. For me, it was more. I did it like once a year before. Just now, because with Adrian, we have a little bit more. How do you say it? Like per period, we do a bit different things. So before, I would do the same thing the whole year through, and now January is very, like dialed into speed. So we do a lot of speed and strength in January to build this speed for the summer and to build some extra muscle, and based off that, I really wanted to see like how that affects my body. Because last year I remember doing interseason after January, and I was just shockingly like 5 or 6 kilos heavier. Not that it was a problem. I don't care about the actual number. I just wanted to see where those 5 kilos, like what it was. It was just extra muscle, which is fine. But I just wanted to see like the balance in my body. So that's basically why I do it, and I think it's interesting to see across the years if it's the same every period or after every period every year. So if it's the same every February, then it's really because of that speed and strength block. So that's a bit why.
Interesting.
Yeah, sounds like a good way to look at it. Look, one thing we've got to ask you, obviously you're sponsored by Nike, so you've got probably access to some of the most popular shoes out there. What's your shoe rotation? Like, what are your favorite shoes to wear kind of throughout the week?
I'm a real Pegasus guy. So even before I signed with Nike, I was running in Pegasus already maybe 15 years. I think I've had every version since where what are we at actually? Like 14.
40 right now, yeah.
Yeah, I think I started at like 26 or something, or 24 maybe. So I've had all of them, and I basically do all my easy runs, long runs, everything on Pegasus. Then like longer tempo stuff or long runs, faster long runs, I would do in the Alpha Fly. I like the extra cushioning for like the longer stuff, and then track workouts in the new Vaporfly 3. I really like it. It has a bit extra cushioning in the front, I would say that's my favorite shoe right now. And obviously spikes, I wear the Dragonfly. I've tried out like Invincible, Streakfly, all the other shoes, but I like to stick to my Pegasus.
Yeah. Keep it simple. Have you got the new Dragonflies, the prototypes you've been wearing?
No, not yet. But I hope to get them this summer. Maybe for World Champs would be nice.
Yeah. I'm sure that'll help out. And look, yeah, just before we finish, sometimes just for people listening, if they wanted to train like Mike Foppen, like what's kind of a signature workout if you have one? Like what's kind of one of your favorite workouts you suggest people trying?
I really like the workout we did last week. So we did 20 by 300. Or in the workout, I didn't like it, but afterwards I liked it. It is a good indicator to see, I think, for 1500 and 5K, if you're good, if you're fit. So it was 20 times 300 of 1 minute, just 1 minute every time. And then we averaged like 43.0. So I would say like 1500 meter pace, a little bit slower maybe in the beginning and then towards like 42s in the end. So you get this after 8, for example, you're pretty tired because 8 times 300 and 42, 43 is tough, but it doesn't get worse. So it's like between 8 and 18 or 8 and 20, it's the same feeling. You just die at the end of every rep and you're recovered before the start of every rep. I think that's a nice thing with 300s. Whereas if you would do 400s, I think you get that extra bit of fatigue in those last 100 meters. So that's why I really like the workout. And another workout, maybe more specific 5K focused, would be like 10 times 800 of like 1.5 minutes. We've done that a few times as well. And then progressively faster. We did that one in South Africa as well.
You'd find that 10.8 is like a pretty good predictor of your 5K shape at that point.
Nowadays, yeah. So when I was with my old coach, always my key session would be 5x1K, just simple 5K of work, and then just count like 1 minute off and just count the splits. And it used to work for me. So I remember, I think before I ran 13:13, I did 5x1K, and exactly when I like added up those 1Ks, it added up to like 13:12 or something, or 13:14. But now I've done that work in a few times where I'm on like the splits of running 12:45, so or like or like 12:50, so it doesn't work for me anymore. But I think it's always good to have one of these workouts that you can compare with the last year and just see where you're at. And right now for me, that's the 10x800. So I did it in January, I think 15 days before I went 13:11, and I did it again now 2 weeks ago, but a little bit faster.
Well, there we go. So we kind of know what shape you're in.
Yeah.
No pressure.
You know what they say about Boston. It's a short trek. So,
hey, just quickly, have you learned French then since? Are you able to communicate better with your coach?
Yeah. I had French in school, so I picked it up quite quick.
Right.
I was pretty good at it maybe 5 years ago when I was still in school, or a bit longer. And then, I didn't speak French for a while, but when I'm with the group, I just only talk French, actually, like with my teammates and with the coach. He really likes it because, like, I started calling him and just speaking French with him. It was like, oh, I thought this was hard to have like an international elite in a group. But my girlfriend doesn't really like it because she doesn't speak a word French. And because I speak French, she keeps on speaking French to her as well. but I have to say, I was a bit surprised that I think it was 2 weeks ago he started speaking English to my girlfriend at camp, and he improved a lot as well in English. So
right.
It's going slowly. And Jimmy as well. When I met Jimmy, he was like, he could say maybe two sentences. I remember we always make fun of him because he did an interview with European Athletics one time, and he said, my eggs were on fire. he wanted to say, my legs are on fire. So we always make a bit fun of him like that, but he also actually improved. So hopefully soon he will start giving interviews in English as well.
Yeah, we'd like that. I mean, what's it like to train with Jimmy? You know, is he a bit of character?
Yeah, he's definitely.
Do you compete in workouts?
Not that much actually. I feel like Jimmy maybe started training less hard when I joined the group. So, like, if you would compare it, I would come from like a very like threshold based training with my old coach, a lot of slow work, like often like 10 by 1K of a minute, like the typical workout, where Jimmy would come from like the other side of always pushing all out in the sessions. And we've kind of found the balance with that. So in the beginning, we would do like tempo runs together, and he would run like 15 seconds per K faster, just because he was so used to always push his body. And then looking at me, I think he realized that you don't always have to do that. For me, the other way around, I learned from him that sometimes it's good to push your body in workouts as well. But now the last weeks towards the track season, where we're allowed to like progressively build up the workouts and actually close it quick, but we don't really like sprint each other off like that. It's more like, it's funny, in workouts usually I'm in the lead with 100 meters to go from the last rep, but I always open up a gap for him. I don't want him to go around. We keep it nice, but he's definitely a character. I think a lot of athletes can learn a lot from him, because he can really think unlimited, and I think he opened my mind that way. So I was a bit too realistic before. I would be so realistic to say that I could not make an Olympic final, because it would just not be realistic at that moment. Whereas he is just like, he has that full 100% belief that he can just win a medal next year at the Olympics, or in 5 years, So I think that's something that I learned from him, to let go a bit of that always calculating thought and just run and see where it brings you.
Yeah, he comes across like that. Does the coach kind of encourage you to think like that as well?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my coach is very positive, and like I think he believes the most more in us than we do sometimes. And obviously that's a very nice thing to have, because like he has a lot of experience, so he also knows if an athlete can do this workout and have these kind of values, he should be able to run around these times. So I also take it from him that if he says you can run this, then I believe him in
Awesome. Sounds like you've got yourself a great setup, and
that.
Jimmy, you've got a good balance there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, look, Mike, it's been great to chat to you, and wish you all the best for the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.